John 14, and it starts at verse 15 to 27. And it's entitled, Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be with you, be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
So, we've been looking at John's Gospel, and we've got to that point where I've got to try and bring this baptism and all this teaching that we've been doing into one. I think I've done it. Okay. So, John's Gospel, we've been looking at this for ages, for those of you that are here regularly. For those of you who are just joining us, you know, welcome. All right, but I'll try and give you a quick speed catch-up. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, give you a summary of what John believes about Jesus. And it's a fantastic piece of literature. Read it, all right? It talks about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and so forth. The very famous verses. John tells you, I believe this about Jesus. He's the Son of God. I believe this about Jesus. He is the Savior of the world, the light of the world. I believe this about Jesus. He was fully human and fully divine. All that's in these first 18 verses. The rest of the gospel is John giving you his evidence. This is why I believe it, folks. This is not just things I've just plucked out of the sky, like, you know, I believe in fairies or I believe in something else. This is evidence of why I believe this. The rest of the gospel is like that. And so he lays it out. I saw this, we went there, he taught this, he did that miracle. You know, this is why I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It was a big decision for me because I'm a Jew, says John. So for me to believe that Jesus is God has really, I've got to have a lot of evidence for that. And so he writes the gospel. Chapters 12 to 19 cover just the last few days of Jesus' life. The last week or so. And that's what we've been looking at in this church. And we've called it, it contains Jesus' most pressing actions and teachings. And that's why we've called it the focused Jesus. Because this is what's really important to him. And he gets down to the nitty-gritty. You know what's really important, he says? He talks, in this little section, he talks about love being the love and the future. And if he say, and right at the beginning of this, he says, if you love me, you will obey. Oh, you didn't know about this, did you, Megan? Where are you, Megan? There you go. You didn't know about this. Oh, sorry about that, girls. Okay. A little surprise for you. If you love me, you will obey what I command. He shares his vision for them. Jesus looks forward and says things will be different. Things will be better. Our relationship will grow, and that relationship will be characterized by love. You know what it's like with your parents, don't you? You forget that they love you and you love them. And you get to a phase where you're not kind to them and you think they're against you. They're not, but you think it. Well, this relationship is going to be characterized by love. Now, love is a strange word. I love my wife. And for that reason, I will be faithful to her and do what pleases her. Breakfast in bed, chocolates, potted plants, not flowers, kinder support, giving her space, listening to her, encouraging her, doing the ironing, letting her grow. I have a vision for my wife, Jo. And in that vision, she shines. All the best comes out of her. I love my boys, my two children. And for that reason, I support them and encourage them and try to do what they want me to do within reason and serve them. I'll do DIY and meals and look after their children, and I'll listen to them and I'll support them when they're making decisions, and I'll help them think through things without telling them what to think. And boy, that's hard, because I know what to think. But it's their decision. I have a vision for them where they're not totally dependent on me for every decision that they make. I want them to shine in the world as human beings, as parents themselves. I'm for them, but sometimes I don't always agree with them. I love my grandchildren. You might have noticed that, those of you that are around here. Not because I like being a horse, or being buried in a cushioned bed, or going to the park and pushing that swing for hours upon hours, but because they're inviting me into their world. And I want to see them grow. I have a vision for them that makes them shine in the world. I'm for them. I will encourage them to be the best that they can be. And I love this church. I serve and I teach and I do what needs to be done because I have a vision for them that makes them shine and brings glory to God. This is what you know about love. Love does not demand and is not forceful. It invites. It serves. So when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, that's the love he's talking about. He's not talking about a love where you have to give in all the time. It's a nice love. It's a great love. But it's a love that's designed to make you and me shine and be the best that we can be. So I can say categorically this. Jesus loves Megan. We didn't do this for your baptism, did we? No. I had help. Jesus loves Megan. So much so that he laid down his life for her. He wants nothing to stop her enjoying God and inheriting eternal life. No mistakes, no shortcomings, no acts of horribleness to her sisters, no bad decisions, no memories of that might haunt her. He's paid for them all. Didn't he, Megan? He wants her to know that she is clean before God, that her mistakes, her bad judgment calls, her habits, her fights with her parents and her sisters don't count to God. That doesn't mean give you a license to do them, by the way. He's not going to keep her at arm's length until she has made everything right with everybody. He died to set her free from all that guilt. And that is what Megan has encountered. And that's why she's done this today. Jesus loves Megan, and he laid down his life for her. Jesus loves Megan so much that he gives her the Holy Spirit. to lead her through life and help her make decisions God will be pleased with and bring out all the talents and gifts he put in her before she was even born. And there's some there that she still hasn't discovered and we haven't discovered and we will be surprised. But God can see deep into the heart of Megan. He has made her able to talk. Sometimes we wish not as much. He's made her able to laugh and sing and lead and organize and encourage and a host of other things. He's made her with a Tigger personality, emotional strength and the stamina of a marathon runner. He made her vulnerable and kind and trusting and enthusiastic. And you may have been a victim of her enthusiasm. But she means well. Jesus has given her his Holy Spirit to bring out her best and make it even better and to help her communicate with God. And when she prays in the right way, the Holy Spirit enables her to know that she is touching God. And when she listens to God and reads her Bible in the right way, the Holy Spirit enables her to hear things and see things that come directly from heaven. And when that's happening, it's like being in what they call the zone. You know, these sports people talk about, I'm in the zone. When the Holy Spirit is working in you and in me, you're in the zone of life. Everything becomes clear and sharp. You're in the zone with life, the universe, and everything. And when you're in the zone, you want to stay there. And that, according to chapter 16, is what the Holy Spirit helps you to do. To stay in the zone with God and with life. And Jesus has given her the Holy Spirit, not because she has earned him, but as a free gift. He's yours, Megan, because you're loved. Stay in the zone. Jesus loves Megan so much that he gives her peace. She does not need to measure herself by what she does or how she looks or what she owns. He gives her a peace, a contentment, a place of resting where she does not have to strive to be accepted. Are you hearing that one, Megan? That's the peace that we're talking about. A peace, a contentment that says, I do not need to try in order to be loved and accepted. She's found that. That's why she's being baptized today, because she's found it. And part of the deal is that Jesus has called Megan to a life of obedience to Christ. It's not an onerous call. It's an adventure of faith designed by God to bring out Megan's full potential in Christ. It will result in her bringing glory not to herself, but to God. And then she's going to live eternally in heaven with Jesus. That's the deal. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, that's not fun for me. That's not for me. I don't want to obey anyone. I want to be my own boss. I want to make my own decisions. But you miss the point. The obedience she is called to is not the discipline of the army or the discipline of a prison. It's the discipline that comes from loving and being loved. You do things because you love. I'll give you an example. Your mum used to, or still does, cook for you and clean for you. Do you think she loves that? Do you think she wakes up in the day and goes, God, guess what? I get to clean Megan's bedroom today. What a thrill. Now I'm living in the fast lane. I get to cook chips today for all the family, and they're just going to turn their nose up. But hey, this is the joy of being in the zone. No. She does things because she loves, and it's not an onerous duty. You do things because you love. And Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to obey me. Not because it's onerous, because it's going to bring the best out of you. You'll realize I'm on your side. And I want the best from you. And you don't realize all the potential you've got. But I do. And because of that, sometimes I want you to walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes I want you to do things that will seem like you're just giving up and you're serving. And you're not trying to strive and own the place because you don't have to. God is for you. You do things because you love. That's what Jesus did in laying down his life. That's what Jesus did in giving the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus does in giving you peace. Because he loves. And he says, do you love me back? Well, if you do, you're going to keep my commands. You're going to do what I want you to do. Not because I want to control you. But because I want to bring the best out of you. Because of what Jesus has done for her, Megan loves Jesus. There she is. She's willing to come before you today and say, I want to live for Jesus every day of my life. She's willing to do what he wants and get wet in public in a submissive act of obedience to his voice saying, Megan, will you be baptized for me? And she's heard that. And then she took the step of obedience and says, okay, I'm not doing this to be a public spectacle and get all the glory for myself. I'm doing this because Jesus asked me to. And you do it because you want to give love back. She's willing to be embarrassed in public, and I've made sure that that's happened, because she knows she is loved by the King of all eternity. Now, just to make this absolutely clear, Megan does not know what will happen to her. Doing this today does not guarantee her success in the future. She does not know what grade she will get in her GCSEs. She does not know what she will become, where she will go, who she will marry, if anyone, how many children she will have, what career she will have, what church she will go to. She doesn't know any of that. She's just as in the dark. The difference is she's got God with her. She does know that God will be with her in all of those decision makings. She does know that he has a plan for her, that he has a place for her in heaven, and that nothing can separate her from the love of God in Christ. And with that, you don't need to know all the answers. You just need to hold his hand, to close your eyes and pray and know that he's there. And then to get up and act with him by your side, cheering you on, clapping you on, saying, well done, Megan. Well done you for doing that, for stepping out, for being prepared to be a fool. She does not know a lot of things, but she knows God will be with her. Whatever she gets up to, whatever she looks like, and whatever makeup she wears, now do you know why she's chosen to do this today? Are you clear? She has encountered the living Christ. He has come into her life and made her clean before God. He has invested the Holy Spirit in her. And she's seen these words, if you love me, you will obey me. And then she's heard, be baptized. So she's done this today. This is why she's chosen to do this today. She is loved and accepted and at peace with God in Christ. This is the heart of what it is to become a Christian and to follow Christ. Maybe you've already experienced all of this. Some of you may have come from a different tradition where you were christened as a youngster and then you were confirmed. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm asking you to hear the voice of Jesus saying, "What do you want me to do?" Some of you have been through this process and you're sort of reliving your own story and glad that someone's made it. Great. But there may be some of you here that have never encountered Jesus. You never closed your eyes and suddenly the Holy Spirit's been there. You've never known the anointing or the peace that you get when you say, "Forgive me," to God. But it's available. It's available to everyone who will come to God, not demanding, but asking. "Lord, will you come into my life?" When I became a Christian, I didn't know the jargon. Okay? And I'm so pleased that God understands when you don't know the jargon. There wasn't a set of words that I could use to say, "Now it says here, if you ask this in this way, God will answer." He listens to what's going on in your heart and in your head. So my prayer was this: "God, I don't know what it is that they've got, but whatever it is, I want it." And I was pointing to a bunch of Christians. And I said, "And I'm not getting up from here until I get it." And that was a bit embarrassing because my lunch was on the dinner was on the table. But I waited and I waited and I waited. And then I had to push the pause button. "Just a minute, my dinner's on the table, but I'll come back. Is that all right?" And as I got up, God touched my life. And now I'm here, many years later. It can happen to anyone who comes and asks Christ into their life and then waits until he gets there. Maybe you'd like to experience that. If you would, then, you know, you can talk to one of the church leaders here. You can talk to me. If you want to pray with somebody, you can go over to the back corner over there in that little alcove bit there. Someone will pray with you. Talk about this. Okay? Don't be embarrassed. Talk about it. "Yeah, went to church on Sunday. Call it a strange thing. They dunked a girl." Why? And you should be able to say, "Because God loved her so much and she wanted to love him back." Should we pray together? Father God, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you because it's a day when you touch lives. Lives like mine, like Megan's. And we pray that today will be a day of rejoicing in heaven because one more child of God obeyed him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.